Bernstein and Holmes.
Mike C. Nelson. Now we know his name is Keith from the Progressive Becoming Your Parents commercials.
The White Sox. I can't believe they did more due diligence on hiring a play-by-play guy than a GM.
Middays 10 a.m. till 2.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable to root for that team.
On Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
You're one of us.
You're one of us, Mike.
What? What are you thinking?
Jaden Daniels, Drake May at the same damn time. Michael Penix, Bo Nix at the same damn time.
You know what you shouldn't do? Interview all the quarterbacks at the same damn time.
So a lot of times the teams are put into a role of authority because they're the teams and they always do things right.
That's why they always have the highest picks in the draft.
Right.
Because of all the right things that they do.
So Layla.
Not talking about the Bears.
By the way, it's Bernstein and Holmes, Lawrence and Layla here with you until Cubs baseball. This morning, I went to, because, you know, like, did the whole thing, had the freak out, and then went right
freak
sleep
out.
Last night. So I got up early.
Sleep. Woke up.
Freak out. Do you know what that song is based on? That song, they were at studio. They were trying to get into Studio 54, which is one of the lyrics. And Nile Rodgers told the story, I think. And he said that the bouncer told them as they were trying to get in, they were like, well, we're a band. And the bouncer told them to bleep off.
That's hilarious.
So he said, well, we couldn't say that in the song. So we decided to change it to freak out.
That's great.
That's how they created the song. Anyway,
they took strife and they made it into art.
This morning, I woke up a little earlier than usual, and there was some really great stuff. I did a whole thread of it on Twitter. So if you're following me on Twitter and Instagram, by the way, mine is at Lawrence W. Holmes. There was a really great piece that was done by Scott Docterman, who was on the show earlier this week. And he was talking about how kids that are fringe fifth, sixth, seventh rounders are going back to school. And it makes sense. There was the Jeff Agress piece about NBC Sports Chicago and the stadium that I think everyone should read. And I put it all in a thread along with this from Mike Florio.
Yes.
Oh, and Josh Schrock's piece about Caleb Williams. That is a must read.
Strongly recommend Josh Schrock, and it's not just because I work with him.
It's his Caleb piece, and thinking back on it, it's the best Caleb piece I've read.
Fair.
So if it's all in my thread, you can check it out from this morning. But one of the other things that I saw that I thought that we could talk about a little bit is this from Mike Florio, who usually is on with us on Wednesdays. This is what Washington decided to do with the quarterbacks that aren't named Caleb Williams.
It seems dysfunctional to me on the surface to do that. And I know that somebody reported that Adam Peters they did that in San Francisco. I mean, I feel like this is just, well, the owner's available this day and he wants to meet with all these guys, so this is the day we want them all to be here. Why would you dilute your ability to get maximum time and just an opportunity to evaluate? You're trying to evaluate four guys at once because the glass half full story is we want to see how they interact with each other. But you're trying to keep track of these four different guys. Like, why would you not? You've got 30 of these visits you can do. Why would you not bring them in one at a time and have maximum opportunity to get to know them individually?
I don't understand that either. I mean, I really don't. It's definitely odd to me. First off, why do we care about how they four would interact together? Like, they're not going to be together. So who the hell cares?
They're never going to be together again.
Who the hell cares? I mean,
at the draft, maybe. But no, some of them aren't even going to be at the draft.
No, that makes no sense at all.
Yes, that's courtesy of Pro Football Talk. And that's Mike Florio and Chris Sims. I have no idea. The point that Chris Sims made is the immediate point that I had. I don't give a bleep how Caleb Williams interacts with Jaden Daniels or because guess what? They're not going to be teammates.
That's never going to happen.
They're not going to be teammates.
Also, you've seen it. You know when you've seen it? Heisman Trophy weekend.
Correct.
Like, what are we doing here? You know how they interact with each other when things are on the line and job interviews are happening and potential opportunities are there. Do you not know about the Heisman Trophy process where they all hang out together? What? Come on, man.
So then Ray saw something, which coming from someone who I really respect and really like, I was surprised at the content. Ray, what did you find?
Yeah, so I'm pulling up the tweet here as we speak, but Louis Riddick tweeted, and Mully and Haw had a great discussion about this morning as well.
They did. He tweeted, on the Rewind app.
Yeah, he tweeted, had a great discussion with a personnel man that I trust a few hours ago. Question he had for me, why isn't Chicago being scrutinized more for seemingly deciding a while ago on the direction they will go at quarterback while Washington is being questioned about their process of gathering intel as we speak before making a definitive decision at quarterback? This is a career-defining slash franchise-altering move for both teams. You must be sure as you can. You must be sure as possible. The kind of discussion I love. The debate is real. So... So Louis Riddick is saying, okay, he doesn't think this is necessarily a bad thing Washington is doing, and why aren't the Bears getting more scrutiny for not, you know, for zeroing in on Caleb like they did?
Well, I think both can be true, but not necessarily because of each other. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
I think, yes, the Bears had decided, and who knows when that decision was made, frankly. The Bears have decided that that is who they want. They want Caleb Williams. They want to build around him. You're seeing how it is with clear intent in their roster decisions and offensive coordinator decisions that they've made, coaching decisions. I would argue that you could have maybe seen what the other quarterback did with that, but we knew that that was not the case. I never said that they should trade that pick because we all knew what was going to happen, didn't we?
Here's my issue. I think that it's fair to wonder about zeroing in on one candidate. Now, when you've got the number one pick, though, and you know that pick is going to be available and you've done the due diligence, I'm okay with it. Like, I wasn't happy with the Bears doing that in a situation where they were going to have to give away assets to get the person that they had zeroed in on.
Oh, you mean like the Bears front office has done in the past?
Correct. To me, these two things are not connected. And I think it's weird that this scouting person tried to connect them. The Washington thing is just bizarre. You should want to have as much time with each individual candidate as possible. And the idea of bringing all of them in the same time period, to me, while it might be, well, we're trying to be efficient with our time, I don't think that you're getting the best out of the time that you're spending with each candidate.
Also, what are you trying to prove here? You know, I used to openly mock when NFL teams used to have to hire consulting firms in order to get searches done. But junk like this makes me realize that they should. Because how do you not have some sort of system in place that says, instead of setting people up to fail, how about we see what their ceiling is and try to get the best version out of them and then figure out who we thought was the best for that discussion process or what we value in our quarterback. Like, that was the nice thing about what Matt Eberflus said at the Combine. He told you what he needed to see in somebody. And that's not this. You're not testing people for that in this case.
It's why I really appreciated what Caleb said at the Combine. It's kind of how I've always felt about this. He basically was like, there's a whole bunch of tape. You've got 35 games of tape that you can watch and you can figure it out. Everyone, since I've been covering the league, and this is 2003 when I started covering the league closely, everyone in the league thinks that they're a psychologist. Well, we have this thing that we've put together and this battery of tests that we're going to run with these quarterbacks, this will allow us to figure it out. And then they almost always get it wrong.
Chick, you ain't got no process that's worked. That's why you're in this mess to begin with.
Right. The hit rate is not good. And it's definitely not good for Washington.
And that's the point that we're trying to make. How many executive changes did they make once the team changed hands? That's another piece of this too. But to me, I think we've all been through jobs where the interview process tried to set me up to fail and like tested me. And I'm like, if you're more worried about how I'm going to mess up than you are how I'm going to succeed, then I don't need to be working for you. And they don't have that choice here.
Yeah. And I.
But this is not how you build winning organizations.
What's up, Ray?
Well, I just wanted to say, if it's one thing I've learned as a Bears fan, it's that, and watching silliness from bad front offices, is don't get too cute. Don't get too cute. Like you said, Lawrence, don't trade away exorbitant amounts of assets to move up to get a guy who nobody else is really looking at, Mitch Trubisky. And don't bring in four prospects for one day and have them all sit together or whatever this situation was. It's just silly.
It's making people fail because you don't know how to do your job properly.
A texter has it right. If Washington had the first pick, would they still have their quarterback gathering? No. They would pick Williams. You are correct. And look, I'm not here to tell you that Caleb Williams is the right pick. I think that, the entire way that we look at and discuss quarterbacks is flawed. So in a sense, I applaud Washington for trying to do different stuff, but this seems stupid to me. Not every new idea is a good one.
Like, especially coming from teams where you know they haven't had a lot of new good ideas.
Correct. Going against the status quo to go against the status quo, to me, is bizarre. And I don't imagine it's going to work, but we'll see. Maybe they'll make their decision and Jaden Daniels will be their pick, or J.J. McCarthy will be their pick, and it'll be fine. Probably not, though.
Okay, so we got a tweet that I think is valid because it's worth refuting.
Okay.
Somebody says to our post about this on Twitter, this is what they do in San Francisco. They don't bring in guys by themselves. SEL apostrophe Fs. They bring in large groups of guys. Adam is just doing the same thing. SF seems to be doing just fine. LOL. San Francisco has one of the best coaching staffs in all of the National Football League.
I would also
let's talk about the last time they drafted a quarterback, which was a colossal failure. They got lucky with the last pick in the draft. So I would say that your argument is not true. There was luck there, and there's also the fact that they had proper systems in place and more established coaches and an established infrastructure. So no, I would say that failed, actually.
I can't add anything to that.